Now, I'm going to ask Dorothy to come and to have a little dialogue here about this aspect of closed circles. Dottie and I have worked on closed circles for many years now, and I just want to ask some things about this area of our closed circle and how it affects our family, how it affects Dot. And so the first thing I want to talk about is, how is this aspect of tracking our expenses, Dot, keeping receipts, and how do we do all this about getting money into your hands to do the things you need to do with it?
The important thing was that we keep our receipts so that we could keep track of what we were spending and what it was spent on, so it would fit into these categories in the budget.
So it takes learning a new habit if you're not used to that, and you go into some places and maybe they won't give you a receipt right away, so you can ask for it, but if you happen to forget, then especially when you're just learning, I would get home and didn't have that receipt. And sometimes if I would leave it for a while, I forgot. I thought it was legitimate what I spent it on, but I didn't have a receipt and I couldn't remember. But the times that I could remember, then I would just then I could put that down on a slip of paper. But if I didn't remember, then I would just get a slip of paper and put miscellaneous at the top. Now that wasn't really
not good.
It was acceptable then because I was learning, right?
God has mercy, right?
Yeah, and Earl had forgiveness, right? So, so that rarely happens now that I have miscellaneous at the top. But it's wonderful to know where you're at, and it makes you accountable. And then when you do make a purchase, you can just feel so good about it because first of all, you know that's something that you need, or it's all okay. And then you really appreciate what you've just purchased. And I find even the small things, I think a big thing too is to be thankful for the small things. I mean, just the other day, my vegetable brush, which I use for dishwashing, but it was getting just pressed right down. I thought, I need to get a new one of those. So the day I bought that, I came home and I felt blessed. I had this new vegetable brush for washing my dishes, and every time I wash this, I think, hey, I'm really enjoying using this. This is great. I thought, great, Lord, you know, you're making me thankful for just small things. And if you do that, then you don't, you don't feel deprived or discontented.
Mm-hmm. What about the budget, Don? Let's talk about that. Why is it important for us to hit our closed circle? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's wonderful because if you feel that way, if you're part of making up the budget, you're not feeling controlled or told what to do. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the wife to be part of that whole thing because we are a unit. So, like, don't abdicate your role there, but take that opportunity to be part of that, of setting that budget for each area. Agreement is a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that helps you in every area of your married life. And so it's another opportunity to get into agreement. You know, it might take a little bit of dialogue, going back and forth for a while, but there's nothing like being in agreement. Then there's no big surprises, you know, for the husband when you come home or he looks at the bank statement and, okay, what's this? But, you know, you've already agreed, and it builds trust, too, and that's wonderful for a marriage.
One of the other questions that comes up is that, for instance, you've set a budget number and say the food column, mm-hmm. and we get halfway through the month, and you would come to me and say, how much have we spent for food? What does the budget say, and how much is left? And we'd look at it, and you go, oop, not enough. How do we do?
You mean if we're using it for something
mm-hmm.
else? For instance, hospitality. I have a real heart and a gift for hospitality, so I love to give hospitality. Well, for instance, if someone was coming and staying a week, well, we might not have that in our budget, but I wouldn't want to give that opportunity up at all. And so we could look at things and say, okay, what area then can we cut down this month? And, maybe we don't need that other piece of clothing. We could wait a couple of months for that. And so you can cut down one area and use it in another. So it gives you flexibility.
So what you're saying is that we have a measuring stick, so we know how much is enough in each of the columns. Then we can choose from column to column where we want to move money. Mm-hmm. And therefore, to make up for any deficit that we'd have because of a situation that was unexpected. Doing so, money becomes our slave. We make decisions for it. We don't wait till the end of the month and go, oh, what happened? We're out of money. We need food. But this way, we make decisions ahead of time by knowing where we are in the middle of the month and then make decisions together in terms of how we're going to move finances to make this work.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really exciting to have a goal that you've set together, and then you're working on this together. And if you see an area, hey, I can really cut back in this area because it's going to help another area. You know, if there is a debt, you're both working together towards that. And it's wonderful when you start to see that coming down and you've accomplished something here. The year is up and, wow, you know, it happened. But it's conscious choices, you know, that so you know what you're spending your money on, and you can decide then what you want to cut back on.
Thank you, dear. Now, the aspect of every person being able to do this is not beyond us, because I've noticed in the day that I've been here that everybody came here with their clothes on. How did you become so consistent? You didn't walk in and go, oh, my clothes are not on. You got up this morning, you dressed yourself, you prepared to come. And the same way about keeping your receipts. Donna and I were just talking last night. We said that when I take cash out, the slips go in. Cash out, slips in. So that when you have your slips, then you can take them out, put them and make your entries in your book. Now, you need to do it on a daily basis, because otherwise you get a week, so you're like, what's this all about? And it becomes overwhelming. I just say, just do it before you go to bed. Just make your entries, because how much would you spend in a given day? Maybe two or three things, make your entry. Throw the slips away, and it's already done. Credit cards. Is it wrong to use credit cards? Absolutely not. Many things you can't do without one. I have a couple because I need when I travel. I need to have these things, but they need to be managed, which means use them as cash. Therefore, if you don't have the cash, you don't use them. Because if they can't be paid back in that month, then they need to be not used. So we're talking now about the aspect of having the closed circle, the aspect of how do we make this thing work. We do it by agreement. You have agreement. You look at your circle, probably on a yearly basis, if situations don't change. If you have an increase in your family, a child's born, then obviously there's going to be a change in the circle size. And as I mentioned, they get older and the circle becomes larger. Then, of course, when they leave, we find our circle becomes smaller. What does that mean? Are we going to believe God for less income? No. Now we've got more overflow. Amen? So therefore, we want to make sure that we have the circle closed, we know, so that God can trust us with the overflow to do what He wants us to do. Now, we have one final item before we finish, and that is a thing called the increasing fruits of righteousness. The increasing fruits of righteousness. Now, this particular area is a very key area, because when we talk about money being used for increasing righteous purposes, as opposed to be used for unrighteous, the Lord brought this scripture to me, Proverbs 22:7, where it says, the borrower is subject to the lender. And every time I've seen that, I think negatively. Therefore, don't borrow, because you'll be subject to the lender. And I think there's an element of truth in that. However, I was on a trip back from Hong Kong many years ago, and I was praying and asking the Lord about what does this mean when we talk about the increasing fruits of righteousness. And I really believe the Lord was setting me up for a demonstration of how this would be used. He mentioned that there would be money that would come to Dorothy and I that would be used for increasing fruits of righteousness. I get home, and we had money received that had nothing to do with our circle. We knew what was coming in terms of support, and it wasn't anything to do with sowing that we had sown and was believing God for multiplication on. Had our records straight. We go, what is this? So we put it in the bank and kept it there. About 2 weeks later, I received a phone call from a fellow who said, I'm in financial problems, and would you come over and talk to me because I have a serious situation. Walked over or drove over that night to meet he and his wife, found out that he had an American Express card that was due in 48 hours. Anybody have American Express cards? You understand that everything is due. It's not a matter of a monthly payment. It is the full amount in that month. He said, I cannot do this. He said, I've been borrowing from my MasterCard and borrowing from my Visa to pay my American Express in previous months, and now they are both maxed. I need help. I said, man, you need help long before you've called for it. You need help. So we sat down and we pulled out. I said, how many cards do you have? Seven. Pulled out the cards, added up how much was due on every one of them, and it came to $15 less than the money that Dottie and I had received. I said, Lord, what are you saying? Am I supposed to give this money and cancel these debts? Well, I said, no, increase fruits of righteousness. Oh, how does that work? This particular person needed financial help, but didn't need an influx of money. People had given this man money before. You've been in those situations, and it did not solve the problem. Because if there's not discipline and teaching and training that goes with it, then the money goes down the tube. And so he said, no, you are to pay this off. The money is to be repaid without interest, providing this person will agree to get a closed circle, and you are going to manage and supervise that closed circle until the money's repaid, and teach financial principles and discipline in the area of finance. If they do not agree, no go. If they agree, then you have to do this. Boy, I'll tell you, talked to his wife, he went to another room, they prayed about it, came back, and you could tell that they were both weeping over this thing because he knew the answer had to be a discipline in finances. And in order to do that was going to take great effort on his part because he was always used to having the cards and access to cash. So we agreed, and they agreed, we prayed together, wrote the check, sent off all the bills, paid everything off in total. Then I said, before I go tonight, before we come back and set up a budget so we know what you can pay on a monthly basis, then we're going to do a little ceremony. I want the seven cards. Cookie sheet, a little bit of grease. Cookie sheet with the seven cards arranged in a nice little design. Oven, 450, broil, in the oven it goes. 4.5 to 5 minutes, we'll do it. Out comes a collage of colors all melted together. Off the cookie tray, up comes a wall hanging. And a sign that goes underneath it, never do this again. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, we sat down, we closed the circle. Inside that circle was a debt repayment without interest on a monthly basis. 18 months later, after many tears and much agony, and the whole aspect of getting this person free in the area of finances, the money was repaid. I'll tell you, it was a job. Because when you got together, there was always like, well, I wouldn't call it screaming and gnashing of teeth, but it was certainly a shifting of gears that needed to take place in this person's life. But I'll tell you, their finances came in order. And so therefore, I believe God is calling us to do that. He's calling people who have overflow to use it for increasing fruits of righteousness, and it's not just giving to that person. Giving is fine if God says to give, but if he ever says to you, increasing fruits of righteousness, your ears go up and you go, well, we're in for an interesting ride together, because bringing the discipline and teaching is so important. Teach your children how to handle finances. It's something that's not taught in school. You get guys with PhDs that can't balance their checkbook. We need to have our kids taught it. When our kids first got their jobs, the first thing that I did as a father was introduce them to God's manager. Every Christmas, under the Christmas tree. Oh, no, Dad, not another one. Hallelujah. And it was interesting because I would say to my daughter, how much money did you spend this month? She said, well, I added it up, Dad, $35. How much did you think you had spent? 25? Isn't that amazing? We think we spend a lot less. But when we keep the records, it's right there in front. And it was a joy to see your kids get a hold of this. My son, after he went to Youth for the Mission, would phone me and say, Dad, send me 6 more of the books. I got 6 people I'm working with and getting their budget, getting their circle closed. Hallelujah. You see, it's a discipline. It's a whole way of life that God wants for us. Let's finish. Finish your notes, and it says 9 principles for the aspect of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9:8, which is God is able to make all source come to us, all abundance by His grace. What are we to do? Step up to our debts. Do we understand now what that means? Acknowledge it. Get something on it monthly. Number two, budget your amounts. Obligation, needs, and wants. We've talked about it. How to do that. Number three, be in agreement, husband and wife, how the money will be used. Two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done. If you're a single person, find a trusted friend who you can share what you've got and have them pray with you over this. Then number four, lay hold on it. When you've got your budget, lay hold on it. Put your hand on it. Now, Father, we thank you that you're in agreement with this closed circle. Hallelujah. What a refreshing comes over us, a peace that comes over. We know God's in agreement with it. Therefore, we lay hold on it, and in doing so, we can fight the fight of faith. Isn't it interesting? 1 Timothy 6:12. Two verses after, the love of money is the root of all evil, he says, fight the good fight of faith, right in a money chapter. Why? He knows that we're going to need faith to see the release of finances. And you can do it because you know God's in agreement with you. Then, find the enemy. Man, deal with this thing, this mammon thing. Recognize how it's working in our life and bind the enemy, and you now have authority because your financial house is in order. God's in agreement with it. And when that happens, there's a peace that comes over you. You know when it comes to the area of finances that you are on track. Loose the powers of God. God sends His ministering angels to us to release finances. There will be ways of finances to flow in your life that will astound you. It can come as we open the door to God's ways, God's principles of finance. Then, finally, number eight, meditate on the word. Oh, I'm sorry. Praise God. Number seven, praise God and walk in forgiveness. Listen, unforgiveness will hinder full finance in your life. No question. And especially when people badmouth prosperity teachers. Don't do that. Prosperity is God's idea. Now, the fact that people abuse it is not your and I responsibility. That's God's responsibility with them. Okay? Therefore, don't let it hinder your finances. Walk in forgiveness with everyone. Loose the powers of God. Praise God. Walk in forgiveness. Meditate in His Word. His Word, Psalm chapter 1 says, meditate in it day and night so that you will prosper in everything that you do. And then finally, ask God for wisdom. It takes wisdom from God to keep money from destroying us. Amen?
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.